Good morning, everyone. It is good to be together to worship the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy to us, O Lord God. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That his righteousness would be our righteousness, not because we are worthy in any way, but by your grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, this morning I pray that you would give us faith in Jesus Christ, O God, that we would trust you and believe you. You are the one who has created us, O God. Therefore, you are the one who orders our ways and determines our steps and our path and what is right and what is wrong, O Lord God. And we have chosen ways that are our own and not yours. So I pray that you would open our eyes and ears this morning, that we would know your ways, and that by the power of your Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we would be enabled to walk in your ways, Lord God, today and all the days of our lives. Lord, help us to understand your word this morning. Help us to live your word this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo, presence. Just checking. Excellent. Let's turn, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 6. Acts, chapter 6. We've seen that the new church has been going through some persecution already. And yet that has not stopped the church from growing. And we're seeing a few different ways on how the church is living out their mission, how they're living out their lives as being followers of Jesus Christ. Following Jesus changes lives. It means the way that we do things is totally different. The way that we order our priorities, the way that we spend our life, our time, our thoughts, our energies is different now. We saw that the church was gracious in giving to one another, that they were selling their property so that they could provide financial resources for other people. We see that they were devoting themselves to studying God's word. They were dedicating themselves to prayer and dedicating themselves to spending time together. We saw also that they were dedicating themselves to living true lives, that hypocrisy was judged by God. We saw that in Ananias and Sapphira. We see that Peter and John and the other disciples are pulled before the Sanhedrin and threatened and eventually beaten, all because they're talking about Jesus. They're telling other people about Jesus. And it's getting them flogged. And we always kind of point out, these are the same people who were orchestrated Jesus' death. And so they have the ability to move the Roman government to execute the disciples. And yet they stand up and still say, we're not going to obey you, we're going to obey God. And we can't stop talking about Jesus. We've spent time with him, he's awesome. And we're not going to stop. We just, even if we wanted to, we couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And in all these things and all these persecutions and challenges and struggles that were going on, it says the church continues to grow, that the church continues to follow God and obey his word, and God is blessing them through many people coming into the church. Well, this morning in our passage in Acts chapter 6, we're going to see a new problem that arises. It's a bit of internal struggle, an internal problem that comes up. And we're going to see how the church deals with it. And really comes around to deal with ministry, with how they go about ministering to one another. And we see that one of the problems that they're having here is that there's just too much to do. Do any of you have everything checked off your to-do list? It's all set. It's all done. You don't even need a to-do list anymore because you've completed it all. Not likely until we pass away. Then, you know, the list is done. There's so much to do in this life. We're constantly busy. Right? That's the new, not the new, but that's a greeting that we use to one another now, right? Isn't that a strange thing? How are you? Busy. That's replaced saying hi. We don't say hi anymore. We say, I'm busy. Really? Well, let me show you. I'm busier than you are. No, you're not. I'm busiest of everybody I know. And it becomes like a competition. And that if we're not busy, we don't have value. But our busyness doesn't accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. There's a book called The Tyranny of the Urgent, which I find very, very interesting. And it discusses how for many of us, we are slaves to the things that are urgent in our lives. And in doing so, we overlook the things that are important in our lives. And it's a little guide, it's a short little book, and it's just an effort to help us kind of look up from the things that are constantly screaming at us, but maybe aren't very important, but are just calling for our attention. And so we give them our attention. You know, the proverbial squeaky wheel, right? That's the one that we focus on, as opposed to taking a step back and saying, what's important? What should we be focusing on and spending our time on? There's always more to be done. How can we know that we're doing what God wants us to do, what God has called us and created us to do? Well, that was a problem that the early church was having, as we're going to see here. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. This is the word of God. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is God's word. We see here that in the young church, they were continuing to grow. And God was bringing in more people, and so there's more things to do, more work to do, but there's a problem. They encounter a problem. And the problem here is that the daily distribution of food, the providing food to widows, which was a task that the church had already taken on in the very, very beginning, isn't that amazing? Isn't that so interesting? Providing for those who cannot provide for themselves, who do not have families to provide for them, the providing of food. But there was a problem in that not all the food was being distributed evenly. And we see so this disturbance rises up, and it causes a complaint against these two different groups of the Hellenist Jews and the Hebraic Jews. So the Hebraic Jews would have been the ones who lived in Jerusalem, lived in Israel, and the Hellenist Jews were those who were more commonly associated with Samaria and who had been kind of part of the Babylonian captivity. And so when they were moved, they're generations back now, when they were moved up into Babylon in 586, is that right? No? Oh, sorry. My brother's got those massive charts, which are so awesome with the timelines and everything. It's fantastic. 586 BC, when the final captivity went back up to Babylon. Sorry, brother, that was terrible of me. I'm so sorry. went back to Babylon, that they started to intermingle, right? And they intermarried. And so they were not just quote unquote pure Jews, right? That they were, the Hellenized is a word for the Greek, that they were associated with the Greek Empire that came along later. And so they're kind of mixed. They're not pure, quote unquote, in terms of their heritage. And so there's a slight difference here amongst these groups of Jews. And it seems like one group was getting overlooked. Now, it doesn't say that it's intentional in any way. It doesn't say that it was anything like racist. It's possible. We don't know. It's not called out. But there is one thing here that when they had this disagreement, had this problem, we see that it seems like such a simple word, but it's in our English, but it's actually much more powerful. It says a complaint by the Hellenists rose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. A complaint. It really is more grumbling. There was rampant complaining going on in this active way here, right? That was just ongoing. And they were kind of talking amongst themselves. And we see this problem throughout God's people, all throughout the scriptures, of when people get upset about something, instead of dealing with it head on, instead of dealing with it in an open and honest and a humble way, instead we grumble to one another. We go and we talk to someone else about it. Instead of dealing with the person who maybe has genuinely hurt us, maybe has genuinely offended us, maybe we've misunderstood something and there is no offense, but instead of going and addressing that, we go behind the scenes and we grumble and we sow dissension. And oh, the Lord despises our grumbling, that we are not to be people who complain. It doesn't mean that we don't raise problems. Please don't hear that. When there are problems, we must raise them to one another. We must humbly come to one another, humbly, with an expectation that the other person is operating in good faith, I would suggest to us. Not assuming bad faith or bad motives in one another, but looking to bring understanding instead of harboring this bitterness and resentment against each other. The devil loves it when we do that. He can just tear apart families, relationships, churches when we do that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 say, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation." It works for our holiness when we don't complain, when we do everything without arguing. That helps us to become blameless, to become pure, to become holy, to become more the people God wants us to be. When we find that we are grumbling or complaining, we must check ourselves. This is one of the things when we do our sacred assemblies on the first Wednesday evening of every month. One of the things we do is we have a time of silent confession. This is a wonderful time for us to pause and ask the Holy Spirit to come and lead into our minds any ways in which we are sinning. And one of the ways is to say, "Lord, am I grumbling? Am I complaining in any way that is dishonoring to you?" Again, I just say again, it doesn't mean we don't deal with problems. We don't just sit on it and bury it. No, we address them honestly. And I know that's hard. I know that's hard. But those are muscles that we need to strengthen on openly and honestly and humbly coming before one another when we have issues with one another. So this was the problem that they faced. Next, in verses 2 through 6, we see the solution that they came up with. The problem here is that the disciples were trying to do everything. The disciples were trying to run all the ministry, all the various aspects of ministry by themselves. And there just wasn't enough energy to go around. There wasn't enough resources. I don't mean financial resources, that was there, but individual resources for them to do everything. And so they chose to anoint, to call, to ask God to bring forth individuals who could take over this ministry. Now, I want us to be very careful with the language that we see here. In verse 2, they say, the disciples say, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. In our ear, we may hear that as putting a priority over preaching, over serving tables. No, that is not the intention of this at all. This is not looking at priorities of ministries. It's looking at different types of ministries and different ways in which God has called us to serve. One is not better than the other. One is not more important than the other. Both are ministry. Ministry means service. That's what the word means, serving one another. And there are many different ways in which we are called to serve. We tend to have use the language of someone who goes into full-time professional work as called entering, quote-unquote, the ministry. And I don't think that's a good term for us to use. I understand what people are trying to get at with that, but it begins to make it look like that's capital T, the ministry, with the definite article there, like that's the holy ministry. No, all of the ministries that we do for one another are the ministry. We are all workers in the ministry. At least that's what we're called to be. God calls every single one of us to be ministers, workers in ministry. We just have different forms of ministry. We have different callings. And if we try to multitask and try to do everything at the same time, then we're missing out on what God's purpose is. We're missing out on the blessing that God has for us to focus on our gifts as God has called us, because we are a body. We are all different parts of the body. And each part is dependent on one another. There's not important parts and unimportant parts. Yes, there are some that are more visible, I understand. And there's some we can't see, like a spleen, maybe we can't see as much, right? But it's essential to the functioning of the body. Every single one of us, we are not here by accident. Our sovereign God created us and called us to be where we are, our families, our jobs, our locations, and I dare say even this morning to be here right now. Almighty God has called us here. I don't know what he's calling us to do tomorrow. That's part of the process of walking with him. When he called Abraham, then Abram, to leave his family, he said, leave, follow me. He didn't say, here's where we're going. He just said, follow me. And so it was a daily process of seeking God and knowing from the Lord where they're to go that day. What God's calling is. And there's a calling for each and every one of us. When they chose these other people, they didn't choose them for their administrative gifts. I love that. That's typically what we do, right? That's how we choose something, right? We have a financial issue, we look for someone who's good with finances. We have a plumbing issue, we look for someone who's good with plumbing. And those are good ideas. I mean, I'm not knocking that as a whole. But when they were looking to start a new ministry, the administrative gifts, which for my mind would have risen to the top of the criteria, it's not the criteria that they use here. They look and they want people who are full of the Spirit of God, who are full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, that they are of good repute and wisdom And those are the people that they want to appoint. They pray. This is holy work. This ministry is holy work. And so they seek God to say, what is it that you, or who is it that you will call into this ministry, this serving of the body of Christ? And they find these people and they call them. And it's interesting that these, all the names of the seven that were chosen, those are Greek names. So it's very possible that they chose people, or the Holy Spirit chose people from the group of people who were being overlooked from that same population to help solve the problem. That it wasn't just, oh, this is someone else's problem. No, we're going to get down and this is our problem and we're going to work together to solve this problem here. This was their problem. This was their solution. What was the result? What happened as a result of the people seeking God, looking to do what God had called them to do, looking not to have their work spill over into other areas that they were not called to do, but focusing on where God had called them? We see the result in verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. It's wonderful that they have this connection here of and in verse 7. They obeyed God, and this was the result. The word of God spread powerfully. God's church grew. Many people, including priests, became obedient to faith in Jesus Christ. God was blessing their work. God was blessing them when they decided that they were going to focus on what God called them to do. We're going to see this again and again. We've seen it a few times already, that when they were obedient to preaching the word, to praying, to giving, that the church grew. We're going to see that a number of times throughout the book of Acts, that when they are obedient and God's people are obedient, God's blessing them and the church grows. Now, this is a unique situation. We can't draw that as a formula. If I do X, Y, and Z for God, God will do A, B, and C for me. No, that's not a formula that we can apply. Okay? God is God. God is sovereign. His will be done. But ours is to be faithful. That's our role, to be faithful to God and what he has called each of us to do. And so what does that look like? It could be different for each of us. We could be called to parenthood in one season, in one area of our life. We could be called to business, to the work and the jobs that we have. We could be called to studying. Oh, what a wonderful calling to be in school and to have our minds and our ethics and our beings and our persona shaped and formed by all this wonderful learning that is available to us. And that is hard work. That is hard to seek wisdom in school. And there are so many points of view in these days that can be just kind of foisted upon us to seek God's wisdom. Again, as we say so many times, if we're going to school or if we're going to work or if we're listening to the radio or reading the news, how many of those voices are filled with truth? We need to be seeking God in the midst of every area of our life, seeking his word, for it is the only place where we will hear and receive truth from God. We must filter everything else through the word of God, in studying the word, in prayer, and in fellowshipping with one another, and running things by one another to seek the collective wisdom of God's body, of the body of Christ. We could be called to government. Could be called to our homes. We have so many different callings. We may have more than one individual calling. It's one of the challenges that we have That there are different, we're not just focused on one thing in our lives. We may have to focus on our calling at work and our calling at home and our calling in our community. Okay. Okay. But let us continue to seek God. Here is the great opportunity to spend time in prayer, spend time studying the Word, to spend time trying different ministries. They don't only have to be ministries inside the church. We mentioned the Holliston Pantry Shelf as part of our Thanksgiving offering this morning. There's wonderful opportunities to serve there. What a wonderful way to reach out and meet people across all generations who are truly in need in our community and interact with other people who have hearts to help and serve other people. There's so many opportunities for us to serve God's people and God's community that we live in all around us. The ministry of driving, someone to church, that's a service. That's a beautiful ministry right there. As you do too, so often, just wonderful, Anne and you and everyone, just the driving people, what a beautiful ministry that is. You guys need like badges, like driving, ministry of driver, a minister of the gospel, you're pastors of driving. It's awesome, I love that, seriously, that's just beautiful ministry. There are so many, and what a chance. If you're saying, well, I don't know what my calling is, okay. Okay, will you ask God? Let us seek God and ask Him, what is God calling us to do? What is the area of our lives right now that may change tomorrow, that may expand or shrink or morph or who knows what, but for now, what is God calling us to do? Let's ask Him. Let's seek Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what are you calling each one of us to do? What is the ministry which you are calling us to? Because you have called every single believer in Jesus Christ to minister to you in your name, O God, to your people, and to those who do not yet know you, O Lord God. I pray, Father, that you would help us to seek you. That's part of the process, part of what you will to do in us now is that we would spend time seeking you to know what your will is, to begin the process of discerning that may come immediately to us or may take years and years, O Lord God, but lead us to discern your will, O God, your calling on our lives. And then, by the power of your Spirit, may we walk in your calling. May we do that which you have called us to do, O God, and be who you have called us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.